Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound. Right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinitiUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
We're going to talk about on debate night here on Thursday, but do you see that this was Paul's like best shot at winning this year?
I don't think so. No.
What tournament do you think is his best shot at winning?
Any of them? I don't think he's that bad. I honestly think that like we've seen him have some bad tournaments, but he took second in Nashville, I think, right? Is that right? Yeah.
Sorry, I just got a text. Sorry. Go ahead.
Took second in Nashville. Been in contention the last few weeks at a couple of them first rounds. Played horrible his last start, but going over there, listen. That guy's too good, man. He's going to figure it out. He's going to get it. It's like Ricky. It's the same thing.
Ricky, Wait. I think we're just live, Silas.
Yeah, YouTube just glitched out on me.
We haven't been live this whole time, Yuli.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Got word of that.
Hello.
Welcome to the pod.
Hello. Wait, what? I'm not gonna lie, you. Okay. This won't be in the podcast, so this is just a YouTube, and honestly, this will probably all be edited out of the YouTube at the final thing, but spoiler alert, I don't really watch chat all that often, but I was concerned because no one was saying anything about what we were talking about.
Really?
No one was saying anything about what we were talking about.
I was confused.
I was like, are these discs not that cool? I'm showing all these discs. Not a single person said anything about the disc. Oh my gosh. Okay. So guys, we've been talking and doing the podcast for
20 minutes.
We've been going for 20 minutes. And this is going to be really awkward to have to ask Yuli how his week went, but we're going to do it again. Okay. Curtain's coming down. Silas, roll us in with the music. Roll us in with the intro. And we're going live, and we're just going to do it again because apparently we weren't live this entire time. What is happening, everybody? Welcome back to Tour Life. You got Brody and Yuli here, July 2nd, baby. And boy, do we have a show for you tonight. We have not talked about any of this stuff, so you guys are getting it straight off the dome. But tonight, we're going to be talking a little bit about James Proctor. Some are calling him the Proctologist. Some people hate that nickname. We'll find out whether or not Yuli likes it or not. Taking his first win in almost 13 years. Pretty impressive stuff out there in Sweden from the Proctologist. Then we'll also be diving into Silva winning yet again. What does this mean for her? How good actually is Silva? Innova scoops up another person, Vino. Vino is now throwing some Innova plastic. And then the President Cup voting results for the fan vote are locked in. Who did we pick? Who's going to be representing Team USA? Who's going to be representing Team Europe? And then we got some nice, juicy listener questions to finish us off. But before we get all to that, Yuli, how's it going, brother?
Good. It's good, man. In Des Moines, having a good couple days. Been here a couple days already. So got rained out. Did about 14 holes of the Jomez practice round. Rain came down, dumped on us. They told us to get off the course. 14 holes in. And then now the course is flooded. So nobody's out there. Bad. It's bad.
Yep. And I did text I did text Ty, who works for the Disc Golf Pro Tour, and he said that they are all go for tomorrow starting at noon. They're going to reassess the course at noon and go from there. I also saw a video today, Yuli. Did you see that video of, I think Cap Merch posted it, of a snake like devouring a frog by hole
really
four?
Really cool video. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Insane.
Scary.
But yeah, a lot of cool stuff that's going on right now in the Discraft world and what we're doing. So I kind of want to loop you guys in a little bit. So we had a drop the last week or a couple days ago, and there's a couple discs still available. So I want to show you. These are the new Crystal Buzzes with a very cool kind of skeleton-y dark horse design on these. There's a couple colors still left. So you guys can go to the Team Discraft site and click on my name and go into my shop. And you can see these right here. Some pretty nice ones. And then also same kind of style. You also have the Ezra and Goose disc as well over there. I have no idea what's going on. Are we live right now, Sas? Are we good?
Yeah. Yeah, we're good to go.
We're good? We're live? Okay.
We are live.
Some people in the chat trying to troll me right now. We'll move forward. So Ezra and Goose also has some really cool kind of, yeah, fossil skeleton-like disc as well. So go check those out. Also, Missy came out with her Captain Thrasher.
Those look great, man. And they fly good. I tried a couple of them already. I have one in the bag right now for this week that I've been throwing. They bomb.
Yeah, so these are really cool. I love the Thrasher, so this might make the bag. We'll see. Very cool, Captain Thrasher. And then some love to the OG, not OG. This would be the new, like, what are they calling this? Like the minimalist? Is that what they call them when they have like their big logo and then they minimize it down to like a little bit more of a clean look? This is our foundation minimalist. These look super sweet when you throw them because it's got like the circular pattern to them. So these are like the Crystal Flex. Oh, these might just be Crystal, actually. Do you know for sure, Silas? These actually might just be Crystal. Crystal Zones.
I'm not 100% sure.
I feel like Crystal Zones. So we got all those right now. Also, Yuli, me and you will be at the Titan Disc Golf.
Yep. Titan Shop. Yep. The Titan Pro Shop. Yep.
With a bunch of other Discraft sponsored players on Thursday from
3 to 7.
3 to 7. 3 to 7. We will be there on Thursday. So go check that out. And also, if you are coming to Des Moines this week, you can check these out. We will have 100 Vultures. The plastic is the Jawbreaker Flex Glow. The Jawbreaker Flex Go. 100 Dark Horse Vultures will be, I'm assuming, at the tournament and also at the Titan Shop as well.
Yeah.
So there you go. I don't know. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, we are going to try. Full disclosure, we went live earlier for 20 minutes. None of it was recorded. So we're trying to do this again. Oh, I forgot. The factory store also on Discraft will be having a huge sale starting July 3rd at 3 p.m. going through July 7th. So make sure you guys check that out as well. All right. Let's just jump right into it. Swedish Open recap here. This went down in Sweden. Did we not get any of the live cam stuff? That's all?
No, sadly.
Wow. All right. Well, I've learned a couple things. So I'll be honest. I did not know that it was completely bright outside. Yuli was spot on. Silas threw up a live cam of Stockholm, Sweden, and it was like it was daytime out. So
it's 2 a.m. over there, and we were like, hey, let's get Proc on. And he was like, oh, it's dark out there. I'm like, he might be practicing over there, man.
He very well might. But yeah, we are going to try to get James Proctor back on the podcast. He was one of very intellectual, very good interview when we had him on. But I just assumed 2 o'clock in the morning for him to try to come on was probably a tough ask. So we'll try to do that when we're on the same time zones, but we got to talk about it. 13 years almost it took him to finally win. We had him on. We were asking, hey, man, what is it going to take? What do you need? And honestly, I don't think if he came on right now, we asked him, what did you change? What? I don't think he'd say anything. It's just he needed the stars to align. He needed everything to kind of work and go his way. And he put on an absolute putting performance this final round. Absolute putting performance.
Yeah, it was special to watch, man. Him coming down the stretch, he made like 4 out of 5 outside circle one, and they were on the stripe where when he needed it, because he had a lot of people chasing him from second and third guard. Mm-hmm. They were pretty close to him, so he had to get birdies, and it was cool to watch him knock those down. It seemed like a course where it was really tough to get into C1. Like, I didn't see a lot of people just park holes. And so I think that's how he really won the tournament. And he actually said that in his interview too.
Yeah, he was 29 of 31 inside the C1X. So he putted well inside the circle and outside the circle. And you nailed it on the head too. No one really on Lee Card was pushing him. All those guys kind of were a little bit on the struggle bus, if you will. And the cards in front of him were playing really well. And so even though he had a pretty big lead on the guys on his card, these guys that were 2-3 holes ahead of him, you know, they were almost tied. They were very close because he had to then, you know, go out and get the birdies to get there. And this is where it's like, I wish we could play in threesomes or in twosomes. Cause in this scenario, you know, someone that's on third card, they could potentially be done with their round and Proctor could still have 7 holes left, 8 holes left. And now Proctor's like, crap, this guy's beating me by a couple. I got to go out and get it. I think I could add a nice wrinkle to disc golf, especially on these courses that are so birdie heavy. You can have guys in the clubhouse as a leader way earlier, and then these leaders have to chase them down. I think it's a cool storyline. The other big storyline I want to talk about is just the youth over in Europe. Pretty crazy how young some of these guys are out there. You had Roland Kaur, I believe, a 17-year-old Estonian, shoot a very impressive 9-under first round, which is one of the best rounds of the week. A lot of young talent coming out of Europe right now.
Yeah, it's actually really cool to see. Even when I was in Copenhagen, we on lead card, we had like 2 16-year-olds final round. And I think they finished in the top 4. Honestly. So they're just young everywhere and they're all really talented.
Yeah. Very, very intelligent. And they are learning all the skills. They're learning how to throw a backhand. They're learning how to throw a forehand. The only thing I would say is like their putts are all very similar, like very spinny, very speedy, which doesn't translate all the time. Cause if you're off, then you're going to have a really, really bad putting day. We've seen that from like Simon before, right? Like Simon will go out and putt really, really well. And then if he's off by a little bit, he can really, really struggle. The spin putt is kind of a hit or miss putt in a way. But a lot of young talent over there. And James was able to get it done. We did discuss this a little bit. You guys obviously didn't hear it. But we did discuss a little bit like what constitutes a tournament that's big enough for us to actually like talk about. And this is on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. It is counting as an Elite Series win. But I threw the stipulation out that I think you got to have at least half of the top 50 guys in the world in the event, at least for us to like really say and really pay attention and really do a deep dive. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm not so sure that I agree with that.
Like what number are you saying? 10? If you have 10 guys in the top 50?
Just depends on the storylines. I think that's what's more important. Like the fact that Proctor won, great storyline. The fact that, you know, he held off Nick Beth and a few other guys, great storyline. We saw Calvin over there. I think that's a story that people are kind of washing over. He played awful.
Yep.
I think he like barely cashed. And then you have Ricky, who made a nice little comeback from like 80th place after the first round, comes back. The fact that here's what I love about Proctor's win. Is he did it against 2 of the top 3 on the planet, including Nicklaus. That constitutes like a great win, in my opinion. It's not like he went over there, he had to beat one of those guys, they had a bad round. He beat 3 of the top I would say top four in the world right now. I think that's the way they're ranked.
It was fairly top heavy stacked. It definitely was fairly top heavy stacked.
Yeah.
To me, I don't get as much juice. And this is where it's just how you feel. I don't get as much juice with a tournament like this as I will with like the European Open. Field
100%.
That's where I'm at.
But the fact that he actually took down some killers, I think, is good for the resume.
Oh yeah,
I love about Proctor's win.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from the resume. All I'm saying is like, you don't see when it's a European event, and honestly, even when it's in the States, unless it has a pretty close to full field, like 90%, 80% full field, the amount of chatter, discussion around the tournament's going to drop. And that's completely understandable. Completely understandable. You have more than half the people staying back to play Des Moines and Preserve. And then you have some guys that went over there. So it's just, you're not going to get everyone on board with it. But I will say the course was incredibly, it looked insane. Like that to me,
there's stressful.
There's definitely a couple holes where I was like, they're throwing down a road. Yuli might not like that. But and there was a couple holes too where like there was some trees in the middle of the fairway that would definitely be.
They were plinko and OB and stuff. I was like, man, that looks like a bad Yuli kick to call me.
There was a couple holes like that. Yeah. Not all of them, but there was a couple. But watching that, I'm looking at that and I'm saying like, that's a disc golf course. That's not a disc golf course that was put into a park. That's not a golf course that has a disc golf course. That's not a floodplain that they can't sell, so they put a disc golf course in there. Like, that looked like a disc golf course. Now, problems with it. You can't get a lot of people on there. Can't get a lot of people on there, and I don't know... I watched a lot of post coverage on it. Not the greatest. Like camera angles, a lot of times you have no idea what's going on. You can't see the disc. The disc gets lost. So tight corners, stuff like that, that's where you really got to get locked in on where your cameras need to be. But other than that, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Cool course. It'd definitely be one that like I would want to play if I was like, in the area, that's a course that I'm checking off. Like, I need to go play that course.
You could be there by probably 2 a.m. tomorrow night. Play it. Sure. Bam.
Also, like, really well manicured, too.
It looked good.
I don't know what hole it was, but they, like, laid down turf from the tee pad all the way to, like, the gap area. And so it gave this entire, I don't know, it just gave a really nice look instead of the typical dirt and stuff that we normally see. Yep. So, I don't know. I was a big fan of it. I liked it a lot. Obviously, the field is going to be very European heavy. We're not going to know a lot of the names over there, but that's fine. One of the names that we are familiar with, Mari Vilman, he's someone that I thought he was talking about touring full-time this year. I guess he decided not to do that. I thought am I crazy in thinking that he said something along those lines last year?
Maybe he's doing the next half. I don't know.
Maybe. Okay. But he had some great finishes last year. And that was a guy that I was like, I definitely would love to see this guy get thrown into the mix more on the state side. So we'll see about that. Joey Buckets continue to having a great season. And also Paul McBeth having a great finish as well. But we got to discuss it because it's in the title. Was this his best shot? Did he miss out on the opportunity that he needed to get a W under his belt here?
No. I don't think so. I think this is like a Ricky situation. Ricky didn't win the whole entire season until Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We didn't have question marks with him. We were just like, oh, it's just a matter of time. What's the difference?
I would say the difference is Paul's been a lot more up at... Paul's been a lot more up and down.
Sure.
That would be the only thing is like Ricky, If you go to Ricky, he got second at Chess, 10th at Waco, 17th at Texas State, 12th at Jonesboro,
Not great.
Third at Music City, third at Champions Cup, fifth at Dynamic Disc,
trending.
sixth at OTB, third at Portland, second at Beaver State. So like,
it's a matter of time.
Looking at him, it's like he was in the mix enough times where you're like, he's going to get it. Where if you go to Paul and you look at what Paul's done, he's much more up and down. Sure. So 52nd, 64th, 22nd, 57th. Those four, not even in the mix. Second at Music City.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Could have gotten it done. Champions Cup 10th, 27th at DDO, 18th at OTB. Then he was close again, 7th at Portland. Then 43rd, 53rd. Then second. So it's like he's much more like a couple bad tournaments and then a flash. A couple bad tournaments and then a flash.
We're not talking about somebody else. We're not talking about a Joey Buckets or a Gavin Babcock. We're talking about a proven the most proven winner of our generation.
And I'm not saying that he can't win, because there's a couple tournaments that I really like him at. I like him at Worlds. Heck, he created one of the courses. I like him at Ledgestone. He's had one of the, or not Ledgestone, sorry. Ledgestone, I okay like him at, but I like him at D-Glo. He's had the best round at that course. Now, obviously, the course has changed a little bit, but he plays really, really good at D-Glo. And then also, there's one more course, one more tournament that's coming up that I like him at.
Oh, the European Open?
European Open. Eagle's not there. He wins by 10.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of tournaments still coming up that I like him at.
And full disclosure, it's not that I'm like not nervous about it. Am I like, when I think about him playing and winning, it's not like I'm like, oh, for sure type thing, because of the track record. That's our job here, is to be honest.
Yep.
But with that being said, it's freaking Paul McBeth. You know what I mean?
No, I agree.
It is. Yep. It is. Now, would I be completely surprised if he didn't win this year? I wouldn't be completely surprised. But I'd be more surprised if he didn't win than if he won.
Okay. Casey, to answer your question, it is 2 o'clock over there. So out of respect, we're going to have him. We're going to have, don't worry, we're going to have James Proctor on again. We're going to do it when it's not 2 o'clock in the morning for him. All right. So we'll see what happens. I mean, this tournament kind of was like a season. He had a great first round. Kind of a dud second round, and then a great third round. Like, you know, he's kind of up and down.
Figuring it out.
So we'll see. You've got Ani. You wanted to talk about him. He actually had a great final round.
Yeah.
Shot 8 under with a bogey and a double. So pretty impressive stuff. Yep. Dennis Augustin, one of my favorite lefties. Love watching this guy play. Really exciting lefty. Might have an illegal jump putt, though. Just going to throw that out there. Roland Core, we talked about him. He finished in 7th. Very nice. Bradley Williams was over there finishing in 8th. And then Ricky finished in 11th, which you might think, oh, that's not that great. The dude was in 80th place after round 1.
Yeah.
The dude forgot to get how to walk after getting off the airplane or something. He was nowhere to be seen. So he battled back very nicely to get almost a top 10 finish. Eric Oakley, Jakob, both having top 15 finishes. James Conrad in the top 20. Vina with the 21st place finish. We'll talk about him here in a little bit. Going down the leaderboard a little bit. Nicholas, very interesting tournament from Nicholas. Very interesting tournament. Never really could get it going. Shot 59, 55, 57.
Yeah, what I saw was he was getting a lot of bad kicks, like double penalties. Like he was he was off by a little bit, and then it was just kicking OB bogey, which it seemed like, if I were to guess, like with Ricky, that was the type of course that could happen to where you could be barely off, and then you're just bogeys are coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, eight OBs. That's tough. Eight OBs for like a fairly wooded course like that. That's
hard to scramble.
That's a lot of OBs there. A lot of OBs there. Keep going down here. A lot of these names not familiar with, going to be completely honest with you. Eagle. What are our thoughts on Eagle here? We got the European Open a couple weeks away. Do we like the form that Eagle's looking in? He finished in 40th place.
Don't love it. Don't love it. But here's the
Got two under, two under, three under.
Here's what I do like about it. It's not like this is the tightest course of all time, the European Open.
Oh, no.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it. Now, like, I think he had a horrible tournament at the PDGA Championships. That's the tightest course you could ever play. This place looked pretty tight.
It did.
And so I want to see him get out of there, get into the open, be have a little more room to work his discs, his new discs, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. I think, what is he? Is he got anything scheduled? Is he playing the Kirkhole? I'm assuming so, right?
Gotta be.
If he's over there, yep. He is playing the Kirkhole Open. I don't actually know anything about that course. Is that an open course or a wooded course? I'm assuming it's probably wooded.
I have no clue.
Yeah. It is a cool name. I like the name Kirkhole. Kirkhole. But yeah, he finished in 40th place. And then we scroll down a little bit more, just above the cash line. Sits Calvin Heimberg, who really had some interesting.
Gonna win again. Is he ever gonna? Is this really, his demise?
Really had some interesting rounds here. He shot 57, 56, 62. And I know there were some people saying that, you know, he played the course blind, his flight got in like really early. I get it, but that doesn't really make sense of why he had his worst round third. Like, I could see if it was flipped, if he went 62, 57, 56. But his worst round was his last round. So
jet lag's a real thing, man. Sometimes it hits you a day after.
Oh, I know.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not kidding.
I've got videos of me falling asleep at dinner with Kelsey. Just literally, like, falling asleep just because of how brutal jet lag is.
You got to do the trick of staying up the entire day of the flight, getting there, staying up that day, going to bed, good sleep.
Maybe he's not a fly guy. Maybe he's not a fly guy.
Maybe.
Like, I love flying.
Don't just brush over my huge tip to the world, though.
No, that's a great, that's what I'm saying, though. I'm on your tip. Like, when I go west to east, I basically load up and know I'm pulling an all-nighter, and I'm just doing a movie marathon.
Yeah, movie marathon.
I love it. But maybe he's not
a great movie, by the way.
Maybe he's not a movie marathon guy. What movie do you watch?
Ride on Prime. It's really good.
Ride?
Watch it. Yeah.
I just watched Ready or Not. That movie was wild.
That is a crazy movie.
That movie was wild. It had me on the edge of my seat. That was...
Anyways, I pulled us off track there for a sec, but
no, we're good. We're coming back. We're coming back.
Bring it back.
So we'll see. He has the cash streak still alive, 47 events. So still rocking it. 47 events. I think he's playing the Kirkhole Open as well. But let's move on here to a little bit of the FPO. Unless you have anything else for MPO.
No.
Okay. FPO. Let's talk about Silva now. Someone, maybe you can go back and find this clip. I think it was right after we played the tournament, the Blue Ridge Championships up in Tennessee, I want to say.
Marion, North Carolina.
North Carolina, very close. I think on that, during that podcast that week, I think I said, watch out for Silva. Because I was out there practicing putting, and she was out there practicing putting, and I was like, that person doesn't putt like the people would putt in FPO.
Right.
Like, she's having no problem getting the disc to from 30 feet. Now, obviously, the FPO has gotten better. This, I think, was like 2 years ago. The FPO definitely has gotten better.
Yeah. The range is getting longer and longer and longer. Yeah, you're seeing that for sure.
But she now is the best putter statistically in FPO. Number one putter inside of C1X. Very impressive stuff. Narrowly beating out Owen. Beating out Owen by 0.1% or 0.01. It's probably 0.1%.
Something close.
So it's very, very close. But we got to talk about the dominance that Silva's had these last couple of weeks. Because we haven't
seen... I got a fun take on this too. So go ahead. I got a fun take when you're done.
We haven't seen this type of dominance in quite some time. The Disc Golf Pro Tour put out a graphic. I didn't realize this was all in the month of June here. All in the month of June. She went first at the Norway Open June 2nd. First at the Hinola Open June 9th. First at the Turku Open June 16th. First at the Ale Open June 23rd. First at the Swedish Open June 30th. I mean, that is some impressive stuff. And also, can we quickly... The trophies, Yuli.
Trophies look good.
Put them back up there, Silas, for the people. These trophies look incredible. Shout out to all the trophies. Absolutely love it.
She looked like she won some good events right there. Bro.
Oh, with the trophies. Yeah. Yeah, you're not taking that home and like hiding it in your pocket or throwing it in your garage because you're embarrassed to show people.
No.
Yeah.
All right, so.
All right, what's your take? Let's hear it.
This is what I think. I think I was worried about this happening. I really was. Kristen leaves. People gain confidence, win tournaments. Kristen comes back. Is she going to be as dominant? Silva has all this momentum. Kristen taking time off. Missy winning these tournaments. Owen winning tournaments.
Okay, so a couple things to kind of squash that.
I don't...
Couple things. First one, we had Holland on. She won the Beaver State Fling. And we were kind of like, all right, like, what are your thoughts? Like, is this the one that you needed? I'm pretty sure it was the very next week. She could have won at Preserve and didn't. So, like, I'm saying is, like, I think if she would have won that, then I would have been like, all right, we got to watch out for Holland right now. Because.
Listen.
I don't think there's been a killer created why Kristen isn't. If that's what you're wondering, has there been a creator?
No, I'm saying killers. I'm saying the field now has confidence that anybody can win at any time. And this is the way that it works in sports. Yes.
You think you do actually, though, Yuli?
I really do. I'm sitting here telling you.
Put yourself in their shoes, though, Yuli. Put yourself in your shoes, their shoes. I don't think you going home and winning a couple A tiers, all of a sudden pop on.
They're winning Elite Series events against Missy, against Owen, who have beaten Kristen.
Evelina. Yes, I agree.
Then she takes this time off, right? It's not like she is just being lazy, right? She unfortunate circumstances, she takes time off. And now all of a sudden, everybody's eating. And when people get to eating, they get confidence. Listen.
No, I agree. They definitely have more confidence. I agree with you.
While she's gone, Holland gets her first win.
Yes.
Ella gets her first win.
Yes.
Silva win.
Yes.
Like, does that happen if she's there? Maybe not, but that when you get your first win, for the most part, we see this on the tour all the time. You win again.
Sometimes, but yes.
For the most part, there are different circumstances that happen to where that doesn't happen. I am a glowing representation of that.
But I don't think you can look at that and just say like that is for fact because like are you thinking James Proctor is going to win again this year?
I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't think anybody would be. It's like
I wouldn't. No, that's not Nicholas. The question. That's not the question. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins again this year. But would you? Do you think he's going to win?
I wouldn't bet on it. Yeah, of course not. No, but would I bet on Nicholas winning again?
But Nicholas is like a top five player in the world.
I'm just saying. But would that have happened if he never had won this season? And then he goes to the European Open and he wins. Would we be more surprised? Yes.
Yeah, because no, I agree with you.
Because he's done it, he goes to the European Open and wins. We're not going to be as surprised. If he had not done that, and then that's his first win, big time surprise.
How about this? Kristen coming back is going to come back into a much more difficult field. That's all I'm saying. I agree with that. The point I was trying to make is I think all these ladies in their back of their head, and it's the same way that would happen on the MPO, back in their mind, back of their brain, whatever you want to say, they're all thinking, what if Kristen was here? Very deep down, subconsciously, that's coming in, that has to go across your mind. And now
Double
Kristen
looks like the Terminator dude out there. I don't think she cares about anything. She's Stone Cold Killer.
I agree. I think she's awesome. I think she's... I literally told people about her before anyone was talking about her. I agree with you. All I'm saying is that's the part that I think you have to somehow push down and get out to really surpass, because that thought has to come up. That thought has to come up.
I'm just saying, man, you can't let everybody eat. You can't do it. It's not good.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Hey, I mean, I'm going to be tuning in to what goes down. I believe it's the Crokhole Open that a bunch of them are all going to be at. I believe Paige is going to be there.
Yeah.
I think Evelina. I don't know what the chat's talking about right now, but the chat's going wild on us, Yuli. Or maybe they're just going. Maybe they're just going wild on me. I don't know. I think by opening the chat, we got some trolls in the chat.
Are they on my side or your side? What's the consensus? Typically probably on my
this guy said this is why Paige said Brody doesn't watch FPO.
Oh, they're coming after you. Dang.
I don't know what I said for that. Not sure. Randall says he loves us both.
Thanks, Randall. Here's what I'm gonna say. I agree with you, but I also agree with myself. I agree that they're thinking that in the back of their mind, but I also think when getting a win, you're also thinking, it's okay, I can do it. I beat these people, they beat her, I can do this. That's all I'm saying.
I agree, it definitely helps. The only thing I would say is if someone would have gone on an absolute, like Silva's the one that's the most dark horse one of all, because she's gone on an absolute tear. If Paige would have rattled off a couple in a row, but right now, like everyone's beating everyone. It's kind of back to.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the whole field. Kristen is going to come back into a pool full of hungry killers now who have a taste of blood. And that is a more dangerous place to go to than when she was here before and she was keeping everybody under wraps. That's all I'm saying. That's what I think. Now, am I going to be surprised if she comes and wins by 10? No, she's that great.
I mean, that's...
I'm just saying, don't be surprised if she comes back and it's a little tougher and a little closer down the stretch, because now everybody's got a little more confidence. People are getting better. People are going on winning streaks. Paige won, Ella won, Holland won.
I think this. Hear me out on this take. Hear me out on this take.
Evelina.
Hear me out on this take. I think we have a lot of good woods disc golfers.
Oh.
In FPO.
Okay.
And I think we have a lot of good open disc golfers in FPO. I think Kristen and Owen, but Owen gets a little bit of a knock because she doesn't have the distance. But I think those two are really the only two complete and consistent disc golfers.
I mean, Silva just won 5 in a row.
Yeah, but Silva also lost to Kristen by 12 at Jonesboro, which was the last open long course that she played at.
Kristen won that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but guess what?
Silva got 10, but she lost by 12 to Kristen.
She lost by 12. Kristen goes away. Everybody gains confidence.
Do you hear what I'm saying, though? I'm talking about, like, I don't know if she has the distance to be able to compete at the open courses.
I think Owen has showed us that that really is a small factor, but it's not a humongous factor.
Excuse me, she lost by 19. Sorry, she lost by 19 to Kristen.
That's old news, Brody. She's a winner now. She's just
okay. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, do you like Isaac Robinson on the golf course, or do you like him in the woods?
I like Isaac Robinson everywhere. I think.
But where do you like him more? Where do you like him more?
I'll take him in the woods.
Yes, that's my point. That's all I'm saying. Is I still think we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm excited. I'm excited because I'm going to see if this translates the way that I think it's going to be, and that I hope it's going to be, because I want to see a tight field. I don't want to see somebody just running away with
it. Yes.
I like that. I like that. But
if someone went on a tear, I think it would be a little more scary for Kristen, is what I'm saying. If Paige was beating everyone by five while she was gone.
We're not agreeing. We're not agreeing with that. I'm saying because one person. I don't care about one person. I'm saying everybody's eating right now. Everybody's confidence is through the roof. That means you have to worry about 10 people who just won instead of the one person on a tear.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I mean, do you think Ella's confidence is through the roof?
Yeah, I do. She won. Yes. 100%.
After she won, she's gotten 10th, 14th, 7th, and 3rd.
I don't care. That doesn't mean much to me.
Okay. All right. I think we'll agree to disagree. I think it would be scarier for Kristen to come back to someone that was dominating in her place. I don't want to go through the wins that Silva has.
Let's go through them.
You want me to go through them?
Yeah, let's check it out.
Okay. I already did this.
Let's go through the elite ones. Go through the elite.
Do the silver?
Nope.
The silver ones are tough. Okay, so she's got two elite ones.
The ones that are important, yep. Elite.
The one she just won, the one that she just won is legit. I think it's legit in my mind.
Weird. Wow, why?
No, I think it's legit.
Yeah, tell me those names. Yeah, tell me.
The one that she just won is legit, and I think the elite, the other one, Turku Open, is legit. She beat Evelina by two. She beat Henna by three. And she beat Heidi by seven. And then fifth place was five over par. So there was four girls in the field that were under par, and then the rest were over par. I mean, the fields are definitely weaker. Like, she's having, in these events right here, she's having to play a couple, she's having to beat a couple people.
Yeah.
Right? So, and this is what it boils down to. And this is what's great for FPO right now, is the Crocco Open might be one of the most anticipated FPO events in quite some time.
That's our job here. Build it up. That's our job.
Kristen Tatar's back. Ella Hansen's there. Silva's there. Paige is there. Heidi is there. Don't forget about Anakin. She's there. Right?
Also won this year.
Yes. So
everybody's eating, bro.
Yes, yes. And then the European Open, I'm really hoping the European Open is going to be well attended for FPO. Let's see, are more people coming over for that? Evelina, Missy, Hannah, Ella, Sarah Hokum, Rebecca Cox. That's another person that's been playing really phenomenal. Right,
gonna win
recently.
Soon, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. So it drops off pretty significantly after that. So European Open's gonna be like, there's gonna be like seven people, eight people, ten people. Right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. European Open will have 10 people. But hey. It's getting more interesting. It's getting more interesting, and that's what you like to see. All right. Let's see here. What else? I got to give a shout out also to well, let's throw up those putting stats real quick, Silas. We did talk about it a little bit. So these are the top putting stats for FPO right here. We got Silva at 82.6. Oh, she's up by 0.4. Excuse me. 0.4 over Owen at 82.2. Then you have Lisa Fakus at 80.6. Holland Hanley at 80.1. And then Stacy Kiefer, Valerie, Kristen, and Lucky all right there ranging. This is 2024 statistics for 2024. So I do want to give a quick shout out, though. Do want to give a quick shout out to Maria Eldy Kristenar daughter. I believe is the correct thing. She was the sole player. We talked about it a little bit already on Iceland. Sole player from Iceland representing the FPO in the FPO field. She was also rocking like a sick, like her jersey with her just full last name on the back. Very cool. And she's got like a really, it reminded me a little bit of like Gannon Burr. Like a very like, stabby putt.
I saw some of those putts, man. They were pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
She's making them from deep. Yeah,
yeah. So we need more people playing in more events, because you see these flashes of people. They pop on. We see them for one event and then they're gone. Yeah. We need to somehow figure out a way. And again, I guess it just comes down to a money thing, right? So, all right. You ready to jump into a little DMC preview here, Yuli?
Let's go. Hey, wait, before we go, shout out to my boy Mapus.
Yes, yes,
right here
Mapus.
On the wall. Shout I'm out at Mapus. His house right now. He let me use his little studio back here. So he's throwing about 700 feet behind me.
Wait, what?
I made that up. But
oh, I didn't know if he was like a distance guy.
We'll say he is. Like that.
Mr. Mapus. All right, let's talk about the True Bank Des Moines Challenge presented by DGA. That's going down this week. Course is underwater. Yuli said there was a basket that is completely submerged. So it might be a slop fest out there, the boys. It might be a slop fest. But
looks
this
good moving forward, kind of.
This is, hopefully, we need to get to dry out a little bit.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite tournaments. I'm definitely not going to miss this one. I'm going to be up there tomorrow. Couple reason why I like this tournament. They do a lot of things right. A lot of things right. First one being a lot of the OB is distinguished by long grass. They cut the fairways. They don't cut the OB. So looking at it visually from a player, from a spectator, from watching it live, you can see this is where players are trying to throw it. This is where players aren't trying to throw it. Love that. Second thing. The people of Des Moines show up to this tournament every year. Absolutely show up to this tournament every year. Hole 5 is absolutely electric. Great hole, great environment. Then you have hole 18. I don't know what it's going to look like this year. Yuli, maybe you can discuss that a little bit.
Haven't seen it. New design on 17 and 18. I played with Gannon today. He helped the design. And he said 17 is harder than 18, and they're the two hardest holes in the course.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about 17 here in a second. But 18, they put up those bleachers, and those bleachers were always full. Even if you had an early tee time, there was still 20, 30, 40 people in those bleachers as you're finishing. Yeah. Des Moines really does show up for this tournament, and that really makes it special for the players as well. So I absolutely love it. They got rid of the hole that we all thought was the worst hole in the course, hole 16. That hole just never really fit. It also wasn't a great hole down the stretch because you could have a bad kick you out of bounds on a blind shot. I didn't love it. They heard the player feedback. They got rid of it. They've added, like you said, hole 17. Last year's hole 17 is now going to be this year's hole 16. And then two new holes, 17, 18. So they do great jobs. Obviously, Gannon is kind of right there as well, helping with the course design as well. But I absolutely love this course, Yuli. What are your thoughts on it?
Played it today. And I was saying it the whole round. One of my favorite courses. I think it's one of my favorite courses, period.
Really?
Now, it's fun. It's a fun play. It's a fun round.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not a hole out there that I go, wow, this is horrible. I think it used to be 16. It's gone now. And I haven't played 17, 18, so I have to wait. But I like the holes. I just think it's a nice flow. I like the islands. What is it, like hole six or something? That island hole up the hill? Epic. Really cool. Really good design with the big logs.
That's seven.
Seven? Seven, yeah.
Hole seven's sick.
Seven's great. And then eight's amazing.
Yep.
Nine's very
unique. Fun. Like, nine's really fun. Yeah.
You go on and on and on, and it's like it provides you with a whole new challenge. The next one, like this blind shot into a really tight fairway. I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't know. The challenge, they do a really good job of working you from left to right to left to straight.
It's not the same shot every team.
Mm-hmm.
For it being like a quote unquote like open course, they do have a lot of different shots off the tee. Yeah. And there's a lot of tournaments really we play where you're kind of like, if I lived here, like if I lived in this town, would I go play this course a lot? A lot of them, the answer is no. A lot of courses on tour, the answer is, for me, the answer is no. Like, yeah, I'll play it maybe once a week, maybe every other week. But like if I lived in Des Moines or in near the area, I'm probably playing that course 3 to 4 times a week. Like it just wouldn't get boring. It's a fun challenge. It's a fun Agreed. Challenge. Very fair as well, except for maybe hole 17, which we'll jump into right now. So let's talk about this. Hole 17, Yuli, people are listening, and his name might be Gannon Burr. Because I said when he was on the pod, I was talking about force carries. We need more force carries. We need more force carries. And by golly, look what they did to hole 17 here. They gave us a forced carry. Now, I think some people are not understanding why forced carries are so good. Forced carries are not they matter nothing. They matter nothing if you throw a good tee shot. If you throw a good tee shot, this forced carry means pretty much nothing.
Yep.
The force carry is all about, well, what if you're a little bit out of position on your tee shot? Now, it's not just throw the disc as far as I can and get it as close as I can to the basket. It now is, should I actually like just jump putt and lay up? Or like, you got to think what you're trying to do here.
Yep.
Also, they did make the island the state of Iowa. I don't really care. That to me is kind of like whatever. They're going to probably talk about it on the drone. Great, cool, non-story for me. Don't care one or the other. I'm focused on the force carry, and I absolutely love it on this hole.
I don't know yet. I got to play it. I cannot give, yes, I like it. No,
well,
I don't.
Well, apparently it's a very poke and hope off the tee.
And so I hate it.
That kind of sucks. But the premise, though, Juliet, the premise, though, is still there. Is also up a hill. Yes, it is up a hill and kind of a little poke and hope to get to the landing zone.
Yeah.
But the premise is still there of where I think you are going to have a lot of I think you are going to have a lot of interesting decisions down the stretch.
Yeah. You know? Hey, man, I don't know. You can put a hat on a cactus. It's still a cactus.
That is true. We'll see. I mean, we'll both play it tomorrow. We'll get our little intel on what we think of it, but I do like just seeing the force carries more. Baby steps. I don't love the fact that we have a drop zone for a par four. I don't think that's ever necessary.
A lot of the drop zones have moved.
I like that because a lot of them were putts.
Yep, they've moved to where no more putting.
Yep.
So I like that too.
But this drop zone at least isn't a putt. It looks like you ascend. So you go to 190 feet. If you miss that, then you actually go to a putt. So it's baby steps.
And then you go home because your tournament's over.
Yeah, you're done. The Cobb Man says, you say we need to make courses harder, that some are too easy. This was a fan question on Twitter. How would you make Des Moines more difficult? Without completely rearranging holes, keeping a similar flow to 2023, don't just say more OB. Be specific. So the easiest thing, and it sounds like they might have done this, the easiest thing to make hit harder right away in the first five holes. Okay. I wouldn't change hole one at all. Hole one's awesome. I wouldn't change hole two. Hole two is awesome. I wouldn't change hole three. Hole three is awesome. Hole four, I wouldn't make any of that inbounds on the left. So that all like short left, far left, that's all OB. So I would literally, where you see the trees right now, you see one, two, three, four left to right. Anything left of that, pretty much anything left of that FPO basket,
yeah,
is OB. And then there would, the drop zone would be like, I would advance all the way to like the water's edge, and that's the drop zone. So right there, that hole is way more challenging. Because right now, the way that hole's set up, the worst you're taking out of that hole is a four. You throw OB, you lay up your jump putt. But it looks like, did they change the drop zone or is it still behind? The map's really small for me.
It's a different drop zone. I believe the drop zone. See it
on there.
I believe the drop zone changed to somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's a little chipper. Okay. So again, baby steps. I don't love it, but it's definitely better than the putt. So baby steps. So I would do that with that hole. And then the next hole, Silas, just to go, I'm not going to go the whole course, but the next hole, I would also just have the drop zone. If you go in the water, the drop zone now is the FPO basket, which.
It's pretty close.
Wait, is that what it is now? Or not the FPO basket, the FPO tee pad. Is it?
It's close to that, yeah.
All right, perfect. It's not that putt like it used to be. All right. Well, I might not have to do anything because it looks like they did make it harder. And I love it. Absolutely love it.
They brought in the OB a little tighter on two as well. Made that a little bit tougher.
On the far inside?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On the far side, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Again, it's not. We're not trying to make people score, not be able to score 12 under par or anything like that. It's just when you throw a bad shot, you gotta be punished. You gotta be punished.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Vino here. Vino makes some moves and he signs with Innova. Now, a couple things have come out about this sign with Innova. Most of this is from Grip Locked. If you guys haven't, go subscribe to Grip Locked on YouTube. Their podcast comes out every Monday. So Hunter got this from a translation. He did an interview and they translated it. And this is kind of like all from the translation. This is what he got. So might not be exactly word for word, but this is what he got. The first thing that I thought was very interesting. He claims that this deal has been in the makings for 6 months, Yuli.
A long time.
I don't know if I'm buying that.
I don't think I'm selling.
That sounds like it was like a, hey, no, this is something that I've been thinking about. You know, we're working with Innova for a while. Deals don't take 6 months to get done in disc golf. They sometimes take 6 minutes. Like you can get a deal very quickly in disc golf. So I don't know what that was. I don't know if that was to try to separate himself from Kevin to be like, oh, no. Like this was my decision. I've been thinking about this all along. But that was an interesting thing. Second thing is he says that his biggest motivation to leave Prodigy and go to Innova was he needed motivation to change. He needs something to motivate him, and he feels like a change in the disc that he's throwing is exactly what he needed, which is, again, very interesting. But we heard something very similar when Simon left. When Simon left Discmania and went to MVP, he just said, I needed some change. I needed to mix it up. I needed to do something different. So we'll see. Maybe there is a little bit of a spark, a little bit of fire from Vino here in the next couple of weeks throwing some new discs. This new deal now is through 2027. So I believe this is a four-year deal. So ending through 2024, 2025, 2026, and 2027. And then when asked about financially how this looks, he says it's a much better deal and he's able to eat fancy pasta.
Nice. Hey, man.
So
I like that answer.
I think he's happy.
Yeah.
I think this is actually a brilliant move by Innova just by them not having Discmania anymore. Vino's a massive guy in Europe. massive.
Is Innova just going to buy Prodigy?
That also might be true. I don't know. Prodigy's weird, though, because they're separate. There's two different companies. There's Prodigy Europe, and there's Prodigy in the States. So
just buy them.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, that's what went down. But shout out to Vino. He's got a great YouTube channel, great YouTube following, big Instagram
Vino's
too. If you guys
Vino's
don't follow
awesome.
Vino, give a little shout out to Vino. Okay. Let's talk about the fan vote. The fan vote has come in for the 2024 President's Cup. And the results are Paul Macbeth for the United States team and Albert Tom for the Europe team. Thoughts on the results here, Yuli?
Well, I love that they picked Albert. There's a lot of killers on there. I don't know. I was looking at it. I don't know, man.
Yeah, Jesse Niederman was a big contender.
Yep. Yes, he might. I guess he'd probably get the captain's pick if I were to guess, looking at that.
He probably will now, yeah.
Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinitiUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised, honestly. I wasn't surprised with who got. I thought Jesse would have gotten the... I thought Europe should have showed up for...
Wait, Bo makes a good point. Why was I, as an American, allowed to vote for Europe? That's a good point. You could essentially sabotage the other team.
Maybe.
Wait a second. Did they not see this through?
They could have done that to us, too, though.
We outweigh them. There's way more American disc golfers than European disc golfers.
Yeah.
Something to think about in the future. We could have easily sabotaged them.
Why didn't we do that?
Marco's made a good point, too. Marco sent in a question on Twitter. He says, what was the thought process behind not even putting Anthony Barella as an option for the American team?
So I asked this.
Yeah.
I asked this question. And because I was surprised that he wasn't on there, and he just didn't have the world ranking. It was from a certain timeline that they used. I don't know the stipulations. I feel like here's something. Now that I'm the captain, like, I don't think they can just kick me out. So I'm going to ask you this question. Why does Europe get to make all the rules for the President's Cup team?
Good point.
I don't like that. I don't like how UC is making all the rules. Is there a committee? Like, what's going on? I don't know how it all works.
There should
Maybe
be a third,
I'm out of line here.
No, there should be a third party that is bipartial. Is that the right word? Bipartisan? I don't know. Political stuff?
I don't know either. This is the President's Cup. We're not running for president. So
it doesn't matter.
But why is he getting these rules? Like, if it's a fan vote, put our best players on there. Let
no,
us
if
decide
it's a fan
who
vote,
we want on there.
Don't put any players on there.
It's all, it's everybody.
It's a fan vote. Put in whoever you want.
Which I don't think there should be a fan vote for the President's Cup. I think it should be earned. I honestly don't
think
there
weird.
Should be a
fan. I don't think there's, I think you should have two captain's picks.
I 100% agree. But anyways, moving forward, I thought that was weird that Anthony was left off of there because of a rule that they put the rankings at a certain time. It's like, oh, are we just going to wait for the rankings to make sense and be like, oh yeah, this looks good.
Yeah, it's how they like, you know, they fudge the statistics, and they're like, this guy was 27 of 2 from, or 27 of 31 from 3, but they only pick a certain time period to make it look good.
I also don't like how it was last year. Like, they're using statistics from last year. That's how these guys
AB
are
doing. AB is one of our top 3 guys.
Of course, I'm going to pick him.
I think you would get stabbed in the back if you did it.
But as we move forward, like, how is it not what you've done this season leading up to the President's Cup? You know what I mean? Like, how is that not a real thing? That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But anyways, it is what it is. We have the team, and our team's looking really good. What else you got on it? I'm here.
I think we can throw it up here. Where
hey, you see, I see, I got my eye on you, buddy. I don't know, man.
No, I agree with you. So let's just do a little fill in the blank, because we don't have, I don't know if they put a graphic up. Maybe Silas, you can find it. But they have the teams with like question marks at the bottom of for the fan vote. So we can let's just go across the board here real quick. Across the board. And chat, fill in too as we go down on who you're taking. Captain, Seppo or Yuli? I'm going you here, Yuli. I think you have more team experience than Seppo. I'm going you here for advantage. Advantage USA. Do you just want me to go so you're impartial here?
Yeah, I can't go here.
All right, I'll go down. Next one, Kristen or Owen? I'm going Kristen. Evelina or Missy? Don't love this course for Missy, and I love this course for Evelina, but Missy could do it.
We might not lose a point. I'll tell you that much.
I got it.
Well, here's the thing. Owen's not going to be there.
Okay. Well, who's the
Ella.
Second?
Ella.
Okay. So I'm taking Kristen over Ella. I'm taking Evelina. 1v1. I'm taking Missy over Evelina. I'm taking Missy over Evelina. 1v1. I think you throw Ella out there. Maybe she can shock the world against Kristen, but I think if we go 1-1 in FPO, I think we're off to a good start. Simon Calvin. I'm taking Calvin. Niklas Gannon. Taking Gannon. Ricky Vino. I'm taking Ricky. Eagle Jakob. I'm taking Eagle. Paul Albert. I'm taking Paul.
Hey, we're looking good. We're looking pretty good.
They really, honestly, their team right now, and again, they can use this if they want. I think their team really only has one auto win. Like, they only have, Kristen's the only one I look at that team. Sure, can Simon beat any of those guys? Yes. Can Niklas beat any of those guys? Yes. But I think that's where it stops for me.
Yeah.
So they're going to have their hands full, Yuli. I know that. I know you're going to come prepared. You're going to get the team ready to go. I've never actually gone. I've gone to the European Open, I think, twice. And both times I've watched it, not live. I've watched it.
It's cool. It's a fun watch.
I think I'm going to watch this one live, Yuli. I think I'll be on the grounds. I think I'll be stalking. I'll be stalking the prey out there. Actually, I don't even know if I'm going there. I'm not even qualified for your European Open. Take that back. I'm watching live. I'm rooting you on on my phone, Yuli. I was in a different atmosphere.
You qualify this weekend, you're going?
Yes. Yes. If I qualify this weekend, I'll go. Yes. If I qualify this weekend, you have my word, yeah. I'll go. I'll buy a flight. I'll go over there. Give me plus 2,500 odds on that. All right. Let's go with the next story here. And that is Tarmo Thompson set an absolutely insane record. He completed the longest disc golf hole ever. And these stats are going to blow your mind here. 38.66 miles, 1,258 throws, all in 23 hours and 23 minutes. I mean,
that's kind of mind blowing, dude. I don't think the 23 hours.
Yes, this is the list of all the stuff that he used. This was his post. He said, "What is needed to play 62.22 kilometers long round of disc golf? One exceptionally foolish idea." Yuli, ooh, he has a Yuli too, who is helpful with advice and support for carrying out foolishness. 23 hours and 23 minutes. 1,258 throws, 74 kilometers of walking, 98,000 steps, 3 blisters, 4 lost discs. That's actually really impressive. He threw over 1,200 throws and he only lost 4 discs. 10 liters of water, 3 packs of beef jerky, a bottle of mosquito repellent, 3 bananas, 2 bottles of sport drink, and I don't know what that is. Or Olrex morning burger and coffee. I guess that's some sort of restaurant or something over there. It was one hole, guys. It was one hole. He just played. He basically listened to Tour Life and was like, when we were talking about why do we play 18 holes? Why don't we just play one hole? I think that was actually debate night. We made a funny joke about that. And he said, you know what? By golly, I'm going to go out and do that myself. So some impressive stuff there. Did you see this Adam shot?
Yes.
This is the first negative shot I've ever seen in disc golf.
Really?
Oh, my.
You've seen this before?
I've done this plenty of times.
So you had a disc go backwards?
Technically behind the tee box.
Yeah, one time I tried to throw a thumber in a final 9 event and it went behind me.
Settle down.
Flew backwards. I was going over like this little ditch in Oregon and it went.
Why also does this always happen with Big Germ? Why is Big Germ always involved in these videos? He's always in them. Like whenever there's something.
He's got that goofy energy, man. I don't know.
He's literally like looking at him being like, I'm so sorry. I'm trying not to laugh right now. He's always involved in this.
So funny. Is he like an ace or something? He's an ace guy.
Yeah, he's always there. If something crazy happens on camera, he's always there. But man,
He parted.
He got up and down from there. There you go. Maybe it was an easier angle. Better shot. All right. We don't have any wild stories this week, but if you guys have a wild story, send it in to our intern, David at wildstorytour@gmail.com. A couple listener questions to finish this off here. Here we go. This is from Jeebers. Is it better for the sport to have multiple A tiers each week rather than one tournament that every big player plays? We got to see wins this week from Proctor, Gooseman, and plenty of others who just don't get enough coverage.
No. One big tournament.
I'm with you on that. This is unfortunately a individual sport. You want to see the best compete against the best. Now, there is some allure. There is some allure of, someone over in Japan that has the highest rating ever comes over to the United States to play. There's some allure of like, oh, let's see what happens, right?
See what he's got.
But the majority of the time, you want to see the best people. Spreading it out amongst a bunch of tournaments is not the play. Is that great for like locals?
Yeah, like, big time.
Sure. Like
that.
But you don't want to have tournaments where you're like, oh, 20 of the top 40 guys aren't there. You got to try to have as many of the people as you possibly can at the tournament. And then obviously the majors, that's where everyone shows up. And now that's even more special. Jason wants to know, did Paul just lose? Oh, we already answered that. Andrew, he wants to know, is Urban Disc Golf a yay or a nay?
I don't know. That shot Goose threw was nuts. You know what I'm talking about?
That warehouse, that shot was disgusting. Yeah. This is what I'll have to say. Urban disc golf with a frisbee is yay in public areas. Urban disc golf with a disc in public areas is a nay.
Damage. A lot of damage.
Damage. I mean, if you do end up hitting someone, a disc golf disc is going to hurt a lot more than a frisbee. I love playing urban disc golf with a frisbee. I would not feel as comfortable doing it with a disc.
Is he talking about like the urban disc golf channel?
No. I think he's just saying he didn't capitalize disc golf. So I'm assuming it's just literally, are you a fan of playing urban disc golf? Which I am, but I like doing it with a frisbee.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Sure. Yeah. I like disc golf.
Ron says most disc golfers can't throw a frisbee for crap. That is the truth. Dude, bro, why don't announcers know the distance to the pin from common landing zones, rough spots, or landmarks on the fairway? Seems like they're always guessing. It would only take an hour to walk the course with a rangefinder and take notes. Yuli, you got this one.
Typically, they do know. I don't think it's very often that they don't. And if they don't, it's because I think our distances are so important to know the exact distance for us because we throw the same disc so many different ways. Like in golf, I feel like you're wanting to know an average distance. They're trying to hit in an area where they're like their nine iron goes however far. Like, what are they hitting? I think that's more important in golf to know, like, what, how far did they hit their nine iron? Okay, where are they? You hear what I'm saying? Or am I?
I'm just listening.
You're just listening.
Okay. I'm just listening.
It looked like you stalled on my screen.
No. I'm listening. I'm listening to where you're going with this.
Okay. I think in golf, when they're talking online, they have a rough estimate and the commentators walk and they have notes and everything, but it's, you have to be a lot more precise in golf, right? So like nine iron goes this far, seven iron goes this far. They know their clubs and everything. And that's typically how the language that they speak in disc golf. There's a lot of guessing going on because I don't think a lot of players even know how far they are. Some people don't have range finders. Majority. Some people do. You know what I mean? Like, there's no markings on the course. So I don't think it's, like, going to be real accurate in the first place. And being off by 3-4 feet in our game is a lot different than being off by yards in, like, golf. That makes sense.
Yeah, there's a little bit – and this is where, like, some people go back and forth. Should that be a skill? Should being able to gauge your distance be a skill?
Yes.
And if you think that, then you're like anti rangefinder, you're anti, you know, distance on the course. But then that's where you really have to, if we are going to remove the rangefinder, if we are going to say, hey, we're not going to put any markings on the course to let you know how far away you are or anything like that when you're off the tee, then you really got to crack down on time. Because there will be people doing like weird stuff to like walk distances off and all that stuff.
Yep.
I
am a big fan of getting rid of the rangefinder during the tournament. I think it should be a skill to know your distances without the rangefinder. Mm-hmm. I think you should be able to have it in practice, of course, and be able to mark distances and get a good feel for some holes. But I think that day will come. And I always get like a lot of people being, oh, surprised because you're sponsored by Bushnell. That doesn't get rid of the rangefinder. You're still going to need it for distances to be able to mark and be a good disc golfer.
Practice, yeah. And also like when you're not playing on tour, like it's still very useful.
Yeah.
A lot of courses. Golf,
I need a rangefinder.
A lot of courses too, like the tee pads are incorrect. Like if I'm playing a new course, I rarely will ever just go off of the tee pad and be like, oh, yep, I trust that. All right, a couple questions here left. Shay wants to know, what are your thoughts on how the Disc Golf Network is putting the European Open? I don't mind that it's paywalled, but in order to watch it, it's so cumbersome. Instead of a standalone pay-per-view option like they previously offered, you have to upgrade your plan, which if you bought a yearly plan, cancels the plan and credits your account the prorated difference. If you do the monthly pro option, then you have to downgrade the plan after the event. If you go yearly again, you have to pay off the balance. It costs roughly $7 extra plus all the hassles to watch the European Open and maybe some other pro content if I want to use the full month. Please give me a $10 one-time purchase for the event. I will pay the extra $3 for less content just to watch without jumping through all those hoops. That sounds terrible.
Here's the thing. I'm with this guy 100% because if I showed up to watch the European Open and I have to go through all these crazy little hoops, I'm not doing it. That seems a little sus.
Marco says, why are we paying at all? Good point, too. I mean, if anything, this seems like almost they're trying to get people to buy into a higher program of higher status on their platform and then hopefully forget to downgrade. Or we all know this, like this is, have you ever tried to cancel your gym membership?
Impossible.
They make it nearly impossible to the point of where you're it's only
gotta
seven.
No, you can't do it unless Jim's here.
Yep.
Jim's the only one that can sign up. Well, when's
here? And then you're like, it's only $7 a month. It's not, I guess, whatever. I'll just keep it going. Yeah. Like, to me, this kind of seems a little bit like that, of where they're just making it so hard, or they're making it hard enough to where some people are just like, whatever, I'll just keep it. I don't even want to change it, whatever.
Looks like you're going to be listening to me the next day.
Yep. Stu Discs, final question here. AFC North final standings. AFC North final standings. Ooh. And this is actually a great question. I don't know if this guy watches my card channel or not, because I talked about this. I never have known AFC, NFC, NFC South. I don't know any. I never knew any of that.
I'm not really familiar with a lot of it.
Yeah, honestly. And so now I'm starting to study, obviously, because we're opening a lot more, and you know, I'm trying to be more knowledgeable in that. So I've actually been studying my AFC, NFC. So I actually knew the teams off this one, which is kind of cool. With that being said,
I'll go after you.
I know, because we do have a Steelers fan in here, mm-hmm. but we also have a Justin Fields fan. I love Justin Fields, Ohio State. Let's go. Okay. I think this is going to be Burrow's year. I'm going Bengals number one. I think the Ravens are going to be really good. I'm going Ravens number two. Then I'm going Steelers and Browns.
What up? Hey, you like that?
I'm going Steelers and Browns. Memphis
is a big Steelers fan too.
Steelers are missing the playoffs because they take way too long. They take way too long to put Justin Fields at quarterback. They take way too long. They don't put Justin Fields at quarterback until week 8.
I'm going to be completely honest about this. I think for sure the Ravens are just going to absolutely dominate this division.
Okay.
I don't trust Joe Burrow as far as his health. Seems like he's made of glass.
Did you see the back jacket? Did you see his back? His back looks like it's in pretty good shape right now.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care how big your back is. Those other guys are bigger, and they hit really hard.
Just saying his back is looking nice right now.
I'm going to go Ravens win the division, I think, running away.
Okay.
And then I think Pittsburgh
Are you talking like what? Like 14-3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound. Right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinityUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
Yeah, I think.
When are they going to 18 games?
I don't know. Ravens, let me finish. Ravens run away. Steelers right there.
Oh my gosh. Right there? What?
Like in the wild card hunt, like usual.
Okay.
With the Browns and with the Bengals.
Oh, you think all three of those are going to be roughly like close?
Same. Yeah. Okay. Barely having a winning record type deal.
Right.
That's what I think. And of course, Pittsburgh edges them out. We go in and we win. And then all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom.
Who do you want to be your starting quarterback?
Jackson freaking, unfortunately, sprains his big toe. He's out. We win.
Who do you want to be your starting quarterback?
Who do I want? Patrick Mahomes.
That's currently on your roster.
Oh, currently on the roster. I'm going to go. I want to see how Russ does. I want to see how Russ does. I've always been a big Russ fan.
How many weeks are you giving him?
3 weeks tops.
Okay. All right.
Tops. All right. If he doesn't have a winning record after 3 weeks, chip him, put Justin in there.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about it. Yeah. For sure.
I don't know. Russ is an interesting character. I mean, I'll never forget. I was at the game that went viral when he's on the sideline with his helmet on, even though they literally told him, you are not playing this game. He's literally on the sideline with his helmet on, walking up the field. I mean, he's an interesting cookie. He's an interesting cookie. Yeah. I'll say that. All right. This Week in Foundation, guys. Big thing going down this Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern on FoundationDisc.com. We have the Dark Horse Ace-a-thon. Dark Horse Ace-a-thon is happening this Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. What is this? Great question. This is an ESP Flex Jawbreaker Zone. Very, very nice. So what we're doing, okay, there's five steps. Step one, got to buy a disc. Step two, you have to capture an ace throwing said disc. Step three, you have to post that video of you throwing an ace with said disc on a social media platform tagging Foundation Disc Golf. You have to do that before the end of the month. So you have all of July, plenty of time. Top five aces will receive a prize. Now, one of those, there might be some people being like, Brody, I'm terrible at disc golf. There's no chance I'm ever going to make a sick ace. I get one dark horse pick. So Hunter and Trevor, they're going to pick the top four aces. So those are going to be the most impressive, the coolest. I get one dark horse one. So I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be one of the top five impressive.
Like, okay.
It doesn't have to be a sick, you know, scuba from 190 feet or whatever. Come up with something creative. Come up with something cool. Come up with something funny. I might very well pick you. Now, from there, those five that get picked go into a fan vote. We send it to the people. Man of the people, we send it to the people.
Yeah.
Whoever wins from the fan vote is going to take home
gets to go on the President's Cup team. Woo!
Yeah, exactly. You now are thrown into the President's Cup, and you're playing Simon round one, 8:30 tee time in the morning. Grand prize winner, because all five get prizes, but the grand prize is going to be a grip bag filled to the gills with discs, goodies, merch, all sorts of stuff.
That sounds awesome.
That's going down this whole month. Now, strategy. Find a buddy. Buy a handful of these. Find a buddy. And then set up parallel with one another. Have two cameras. One filming this way, one filming that way. Just like kind of cornhole, just like horseshoes. One guy throws 4 or 5 down. He makes it, great. If he misses it, then the other guy throws 4 or 5 down. Now, if you're doing this solo dolo, respect. Because that means you're basically having to walk down to the hole, pick up the disc, walk back, do it again. So respect. But if you can find a partner, you can just basically
ace it first try. Bam. One and done.
I mean, that would be electric. Cool. That would be actually electric for sure. If someone cites the preamble, recites the preamble and then immediately without cuts makes an ace, there's a very good chance I pick you as a dark horse pick.
Wow. What if there's 100 of those? That's great.
That'd be incredible, but I mean, do you know how hard it is to recite the preamble? I think people are going to give up really quickly. That's like 45 seconds. Right?
Could get that freaking dark horse pick, though.
Could get the dark horse pick. All right, house cleeping. What do we got here? Winner of the, I guess there was two Edwin Early trivias, because we weren't live, so the people were getting rowdy. So Edwin, I think, took it upon himself to just throw another giveaway up to try to get the chat in line, because people were getting rowdy that we hadn't started for 20 minutes. So I don't know who ended up winning. Maybe those names will throw up here in a second, but congratulations to our two Edwin Early trivia winners, Brian H. and Christian R. Shout out to Brian H. and Christian R. Congratulations, guy. All right, Silas, where are we at? Tour Life Crew merch. This is not part of Tour Life Crew, but this is a Man of the People shirt here. Man of the People. Still available on foundationdiscgolf.com. All right, where are we at on the Tour Life Crew merch here?
Guys, we did it. We did it. We're at 518.
Ooh,
we made
wow.
it.
Woo!
Woo!
This week.
Woo! Very nice.
20.
Should we do a giveaway then, Yuli?
Yeah.
All right. So come, me and Yuli will sign one of these Ace-a-thon discs, or we'll sign something together. Maybe we'll do a Vulture, and you said you had a Raptor coming out. Would you have?
Yeah, cap wraps with the Yuli, a big Yuli stamp just right on the top.
So
of
maybe
it looks sick.
Maybe yeah. me and Yuli will both sign that, and we'll do a little YouTube giveaway for you guys. We'll maybe have that be in an upcoming thing for over 500. Next milestone, Silas, 750. 750
items. Ooh, that's a big number. But,
750
hey, y'all
items.
Got us to 500, so, you know.
Impressive stuff.
We'll get there, we'll get there, we'll get there.
That's crazy, so thank you,
impressive
guys.
Stuff. All right. Anything else? Did we miss anything? Chat, did we miss anything? I think we pretty much talked about everything. Yuli, you got anything?
Got
Silas,
it.
You got anything?
Oh, nope.
It's kind of a slow week in disc golf, but, you know, it is what it is. It's going to start ramping up here. A couple of events before the European Open, the next major. And this is going to be a big one, man. I have a feeling.
Finnish championships this coming week, too, I think,
yeah,
right?
That
right?
Proctor said huge. he said he's going to caddy.
Oh,
I think they're doing a dual simulcast.
Is what
I think they
means.
Said.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So I think
they're
like doing
happening at the same time.
Thoughts on Stokely buying Ching? I have no idea what that is. What's Ching?
A disc golf company.
Did you talk about the Hammes clip of him yelling at the competitor on the card in front of him? No. But doesn't surprise me either.
Probably it was slow. Probably was like, hey, hurry it up. I'm guessing.
Probably. Get the people going.
Yeah. Brody's in on that. He likes that.
It's a disc golf company. Is what yeah. it is. Ching. Shout out to Stokely. We got to get Stokely on here at some point.
Big Stokes.
Got to get Stokely. All right, folks. That's going to do it for us tonight. We appreciate you hanging in with us. I got to figure out whether or not I'm keeping in all this beginning stuff or not. The Mojo Jojo. We'll figure it out. But appreciate you guys. Thank you guys so much. We'll be in Des Moines. Tune in. Disc Golf Network. Free on Friday. You got the Jomez practice round coming out. Me and I think Ezra is still going to film a practice round. I don't know. He just texted me. They just postponed practice to noon for tomorrow.
Yeah, we Yikes. Already knew that, Ez. Come on.
I know. I'm going to have to call Ezra, I guess, and we'll have to figure it out. But yeah, appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Fun one. Chat, appreciate you, whether you're supporting of the show, you just came in here to troll. Keeping it spicy, as always. I love it. We'll see you guys in the next one.
Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound. Right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinityUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
Save big money on your outdoor storage solutions right now at Menards. Protect your car, boat, or yard equipment with VersaTube storage buildings. They're made with durable galvanized steel and quick-slip frame connections for easy do-it-yourself assembly. Save big on all VersaTube storage buildings at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.